ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं च नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नस्तप्रयेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, which one is it? Chapter 14, text 51. This is Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. Tadrajendra yata sneha Svasva katmani dehinam Natata mamata lambi Putra vita grihadishu Tadrajendra yata sneha Svasva katmani dehinam Natata mamata lambi Putravita grihadishu Tadrajendra yata sneha Svasva katmani dehinam Natata mamata lambi Putravita grihadishu Therefore Rajendra, O best of kings, yata, as, sneha, the affection, svasvaka, of each individual, atmani, for the self, dehinam, of the embodied beings, na, not, Tata, thus, mamata alambi, for that which one identifies with as his possessions, putra, sons, vita, wealth, griha, homes, adishu, and so on. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. For this reason, O best of kings, the embodied soul is self-centered. He is more attached to his own body and self than his so-called possessions like children, wealth, and home. Responsively, for this reason, O best of kings, the embodied soul is self-centered. He is more attached to his own body and self than to his so-called possessions, like children, wealth, and home. Purport. It is now common practice all over the world for a mother to kill her own child within the womb if the birth of that child represents any inconvenience for her. Similarly, grown children eagerly place their elderly parents in lonely institutions rather than be inconvenienced by their presence at home. These and innumerable other examples prove that people in general are more attached to their own body and self, which represent I-ness, than to their family and other possessions, which represent my-ness. Although conditioned souls are very proud of their so-called love for society, family, and so forth, in reality, every conditioned soul is acting on the platform of gross or subtle selfishness. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So this is the science of Krishna consciousness being presented very succinctly, that Krishna is a supreme enjoyer, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. He's a supreme enjoyer, supreme creator, the cause of everything. We're a part of that supreme creator, Lord Krishna. And the reason why we're very much attached or fearful of death, everyone is very fearful in this material world. I remember when I was in Los Angeles in 1993, I was actually on the altar to do the puja for Gorni Thai. We just blew the conch shells, and there was an earthquake, a very heavy earthquake. All the pillars were breaking, and we all ran up to catch the deities. So it was... people, you could hear, you know, screaming out of fear. Naturally, natural disasters are there and people are very fearful. But this Maya is very, very strong. Daivi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatyaya Mamevaye Prapajante Mayame Tang Tarantite. That this divine energy of Krishna is very difficult to overcome, because we want to enjoy this material world, so we're totally mesmerized by modes of ignorance, modes of passion, modes of goodness. We're being driven along according to our desires. So as we desire, we act in a certain way with the gross body that we're given. And so there's certain reactions that Krishna, he's equal to everyone, but he reciprocates as we reciprocate with him. Yayatamang prapajate tangstataiva bhajamyaham. As we surrender to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. Naturally, materialistic persons who are totally on the bodily concept and think that sense gratification is the ultimate goal of life don't want to hear that one is selfish, he doesn't really care for his family members or his children and wife and possessions. And, you know, people think, well, that's a really low class evaluation of respectable persons who do care. But generally, or specifically, it's being pointed out that this selfishness takes the top, you know, the top importance in people's lives. They're willing to kill family members over wealth. You know, this is what the whole material world being driven by this lust and desire. People say we have to become desireless, but you cannot become desireless because that's a desire to become desireless. Because this is part the spirit soul, the consciousness is active because the senses have no meaning without consciousness. Because the consciousness is what animates or activates the senses to perform. Now, if you're a very logical and reasonable person, where does that come from? Krishna says, I'm giving intelligence. Without the intelligence, how can the scientists create that nuclear bomb to kill hundreds of thousands of people in one shot? or you know how or, you know so many intelligent people wearing winning Nobel Prizes for their education and abilities. We see people are very much mesmerized by sports, whether football in America, cricket in India, and or this game or that game, or martial arts, fighting. Who's the most powerful? You know, people beat each other. So all these endeavors in this material world are simply a desire to enjoy. So when Krishna was invited to Indraprastha, that King Yudhishthir wants to perform this Rajasuya Yajna. And the Rajasuya Yajna is the most important and prominent of all yajnas. So Uddhava gave the instructions that we have to kill Jarasandha or get all the kings in the kingdom have to surrender to your supremacy. This is the meaning of the Rajasuya Yajna. So Yudhishthir, after meeting Krishna nicely, you can just imagine Lord Krishna took all his queens and golden palanquins and the horses and elephants and all the different paraphernalia required to travel a long distance to Indraprastha. So we can imagine, how is that possible? But this is Krishna's potency and Krishna's ability. When Krishna is being attacked by Jarasandha and so many demons, he created Dwarka in the ocean. Imagine creating a whole city in the ocean, and by his potency he brought all his relatives to the and put them in the city and created the whole situation just by his wish. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. And someone may think, well, these are just stories, they're imaginative. But Vyasadeva didn't waste his time writing just imaginative stories. Previously people were Shrutidar. They would understand that the purpose of life is to inquire, who am I? Am I this body or am I spirit soul? Aham Brahmasmi, okay. So there's something that drives this material body, because when that element, consciousness, the spirit soul leaves the body, it's a dead body. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. But now the ego, it's a little more subtle, because that ego is our misunderstanding of who we really are. That ego is what's formulated by our desire to enjoy in this material world, exploit. So we think, what's wrong with enjoyment? Krishna enjoys, the cowherd boys enjoy. Krishna has loving affairs with his mother and father and cowherd girls, and it's all enjoyment. Yes, when you're well, you can enjoy, but when you're diseased, when you're sick, you have to take your medicine to become healthy again, because you don't have the senses to perceive. You know, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. So human life is meant to purify the senses. So when we hear that the living entity is basically selfish and really mainly cares about what's good for him, although people do sacrifice throughout their life for family, for nation, but it's still under false understanding that we're all Jivera Swarupoi Krishner Nityadas. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. So no matter what occupation we have going on in this material world, how big our family is, what a rich nation we live in, or an opulent household, our bank balance is overflowing with rupees. You know, we have all the things that we need. Sometimes a great person visits another. What can we do for you? Well, you're self-satisfied, you're complete, so we have no needs, no wants. We don't really. Devotees of the Lord don't need or want anything. Just like the six Goswamis, great ministers, very powerful, very opulent, but they just gave up this material, so-called illusion that I can be happy in material life by some position. Oh, I became governor. I became vice president. I became president. I became emperor. I became the supreme emperor of many kingdoms. This is so-and-so, the emperor of seven kingdoms. You must bow down to him. Yes. So the whole idea of opulence, reputation, beauty, wealth, that all belongs to Krishna. Bhoktarang jagatapasang sarvaloka maheshwaram suridang sarbhutanam gyatvamang shantim rishati. One can become shanti, peaceful, if he recognizes three things. That Krishna is Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, the Jaga, the whole universe. He's the enjoyer. He controls everything. Everything's meant for his enjoyer, enjoyment. Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarbhutanam Gyatvamam Shantirishuddhi. He's the friend of every living being because he's giving us knowledge. He cares. It's not like Krishna's impersonal. When he arrived, finally in Indraprastha, Yudhishthira Maharaj was so jubilant. All the Pandavas were so happy. You know, some, according to their position, were offering him obeisances. He was offering obeisances to the elders, Queen Kunti, and all the brahmanas, the priests, and the younger Sahadev, Nakula, offering respects. Arjuna tried to offer respect, but Krishna grabbed them by the arms and just let only he could embrace him. Krishna plays the Leela very well, as if he's an ordinary man or human being, because many people think that. So Yudhishthira Maharaj thought, let's have this Rajasuya Yajna. This will claim you as the Supreme Lord of all lords. We're going to invite everybody in the 14 planetary systems. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all the demigods, all the big guns, all the big, very powerful personalities. They should all see that Krishna, in that ceremony to begin the Yajna, it picks who is the most important personality in the assembly. And Krishna would definitely take that. But in order to do that, they had to have all the kings submit. So Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, they all went to the different directions. And everyone had to pay their taxes. So this is a monarchy. This is a kingdom. And the purpose of the king is to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We may have seen, even during, you know, a couple thousand years ago, England and Europe, there was kings and there was musicians and all kinds of pomp and glory and decoration. So we can imagine during Krishna's time, all the animals had like silver-plated hooves and jewelry and amazing decorations throughout the whole city. Even the servants, you know, wearing incredible turbans and jewels and well-dressed and looking very effulgent. So this is Vedic culture. But it's degraded to the point and to the extent that people no longer believe in God. They think he's only a human being. Oh, some historical person. He was very rich and he had a lot of wives, you know. He performed some activities. But people have no clue or idea because they don't want to know. But those who are actually seeking for knowledge of the Absolute Truth, they follow Vyasadeva's guidance. Previously, people were Shrutidhar. They could hear it and retain it simply by the sharpness of their intelligence and memory. Very difficult in Kali Yuga. We're short-lived. Intelligence is not very good, and memory is waning. Our lifespan is, everything is just tottering. You could fall into the water of death at any moment. So this Rajasuya was very important. And Krishna, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Where does he begin with Arjuna? That the whole second chapter, very powerful chapter, as the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul certainly passes into another body at the point of death, and the self-realized soul is not bewildered by that. So that means that in order to perfect our human life, we have to become self-realized. And self-realization means to understand philosophically, I'm not this body, I'm eternal spirit soul, so I should utilize this vehicle, the body, for the service of Krishna. Instead of just, you know, using it to go into the nightclub and eat dead animals and then have unrestricted sex life, then, you know, oh, you have a bit, you're pregnant, so abortion around the corner, you can just kill them, no problem. It's not really a living being until they're, you know, at least this many months old. So they have such demonic ideas, activities, that the mothers can very freely kill their children. And if they make a law, no abortion, they think, oh, it's inhuman, how can you force me? It's my body, I can do what I want. But this is the nature of ignorance, that there are laws, and God's laws are paramount, the topmost laws. That's called dharma, religion. And without dharma and religion,
people act like animals, and that animal propensity is inherent in everybody. And that's what the selfishness, how it comes out, that people are looking out for number one. But to look out for ourselves in an intelligent way, in a guided way, is to surrender to the guru. And then it's not just symbolic surrender. Yes, I have a guru now. You initiate? Yes, I'm initiated. How many years I'm initiated. But so that the beginning of discipline, that vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasta vegam. Nobody likes discipline. You know, who likes to take a cold shower when it's really cold? Or, you know, Maharaj says he likes it. It energizes him. That's why in the morning he says, Hare Krishna. This is energy. But human life is meant for tapasya, austerity, and anybody can understand to live with hundreds of other people of different cultures and different nations. It takes some tapasya because we all have different ideas, and if something interferes with our sense gratification, we become disturbed. But this is the austerity of living in a society. But the society is guided by Srila Prabhupada's books, which are perfect. Pure devotee is perfect in all respects. He doesn't make mistakes, or not in the way that we see it, or imperfect senses, or tendency to be illusion, or cheating propensity. These are the frailties and the disqualifications of common men, whether they're professors or PhDs. Anyone in the human form of life has not surrendered to the Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master, giving us knowledge in the form of the Vedic literature. So the Guru is simply representing the whole Guru Parampara. The Guru is one who's giving guidance according to Krishna, Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, the Vedic literature. And the Vedic literature is perfect. One needs that faith. If you don't have that faith, then develop it by association, by reading, by hearing, by really contemplating, looking at our lives, that our parents have not become happy totally, or you know, everyone just ultimately gets old, ends up in a old person institution, and the family's very eager to pay for that. Go ahead, yeah. You know, but nobody wants to deal with the difficulty of someone who's very old, can't see properly, can't walk properly, always they need to be fully taken care of like a little child again. And that's a sacrifice. Many people make that sacrifice for their parents, which we're indebted to. The parents gave us this body, which we're using as a vehicle to go back home to the spiritual kingdom. So we have a debt to the parents. We have a debt to demigods. We have debt to the sun god, the moon god, the planet Earth, Mother Cow. So many debts are there. So yajñas were prescribed. Krishna, when he was in Dwarka, was performing daily pancha yajna, which was a requirement for all householders. Because it says when you're walking on the street, you're killing so many insects and bugs. When you're drinking the water, there's so many bacteria. And when you're cooking. So even unavoidable sins are taking place. To sin, everybody is sinful in this material world. So what to do? Surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharma parityajam amekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papeyo moksha yashyami masuchaha. Krishna said, I'll free you from those sins, but you have to surrender. Like a person's condemned to death, there's no hope. Well, you're condemned to death, you're going to execution time tomorrow. But the governor or the president can say, okay, the king say, okay, give him another chance. That's fine. So Krishna's giving us another chance, because without Krishna inspiring us internally and also sending Prabhupada, who can imagine in the time scale that Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, again 500 years ago, Chaitanya, we have Advaita Acharya's appearance coming, he was calling for Krishna, save these people of Kali Yuga, they're on the bodily concept, they're suffering. So Krishna, he sent Jagannath Mishra, Sachimata, Lord Nityananda came ahead of time, Lord Chaitanya came with all his associates, and performed wonderful lila, which has been documented in the form of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and great sages, and also announced in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, Varnam, Tushar, Krishnam, Sangopan, Gatra, Parishadam, Jognai, Sankirtan, Prayar, Yajanti, Hisumeda, Saham. So one who's intelligent will worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. So we have a chance to do that. Advaitacharya's appearance is coming very soon. And then Lord Nityananda's, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gaur Purnima. We're very fortunate because in Vrindavan, everything is amplified. Even our awareness and understanding, you know, of the saints, of all the great acharyas, and being here, the samadhis are here, and always hearing the transcendental sound vibrations of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Despite all difficulties, all inability, lack of scholarly intelligence, we can still just chant the holy name and achieve ultimate perfection. So this is the clue. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalu Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. But that taste for the holy name doesn't happen if we're simply focused on sense gratification or selfishness. A devotee becomes selfless because he just wants to give pleasure to Guru and give pleasure to Krishna. So we see our own shortcomings and we have to work. We have to work in such a way, and the formula is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanabedanam. There's a lot of categories of devotional service which is rarely achieved. It's a great privilege to perform devotional service when the queens, Krishna's queens, were coming into Prastha. All the inhabitants were asking what pious activities they must have performed to be able to see Krishna's charming smile or his loving glances. And that's all people actually live for on the transcendental platform, whether Krishna's coming into Mathura, into Dwaraka, Indraprastha, wherever Krishna's exchanging, you always hear how everybody's enchanted by his beauty, by his smile, by his sidelong glances, and the beauty of his body, and the flute playing, just mesmerizing. So these are some of the attractive features of Krishna wanting to call us back home, back to the spiritual world. But one who's only looking at the bottle of honey without opening the lid to taste the contents within, then we're missing that opportunity. We're thinking, oh, it's sweet, but you're just looking at the outside of the covering. So we need to go deeper in our own Krishna consciousness. And we know how to do it. It's just a matter of really making a mental commitment that, okay, I'm having a hard time getting up in the morning. I should take rest earlier, get up for the Mangal Arati. You may not be overly bubbly, enthusiastic that, oh yeah, I'm just so eager to see Krishna. No, even if it's out of duty that I want to come, Krishna is kind enough to make his presence, and I'm here part of this community, so we should be enthusiastic about that. And be enthusiastic to participate in the Sankirtan Yajna, just like so many devotees and well-wishers all over the world during this book marathon. They performed austerities to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books because it gives pleasure to Prabhupada that the book distribution is going on, that people have an opportunity to hear about Krishna, touch a book, meet a devotee. It could change people's lives. Sometimes we think, oh, it's just a small group, not so many people came. Prabhupada, he was seeing Narada Muni, he was seeing great, great demigods. So wherever Krishna Katha is taking place, beyond our like mundane vision, there's the presence of the Lord is there. So we ourselves have to make that kind of a commitment to try to. It's easy. We don't have to speculate anymore because what do I do? Read the Bhagavad Gita very attentively. Start the Srimad Bhagavatam from the beginning, and every day go through the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the scientifically organized by Krishna to help us unlock all those blockages in our brain, all that accumulation of dust on the heart, the knots of envy, lust, greed. These are all activities of material life. And we're not going to get free thinking, okay, it's a pretty good philosophy, but I got to get on with my life. I have my, you know, I got to get to work. I still got to pay all my bills. I got my children, they need their schooling, and, you know, they need a new iPhone every year because, you know, they're from a higher class family. And, of course, a few cars in the driveway and a few in the garage. So, you know, you work hard your whole life because you're gifted with some intelligence how to control the material energy in such a way that, oh, I figured it all out. You know, I can make some quick cash and that's the end of it. But it doesn't end. Because you may be elated for a little bit because you're in possession of funds, but then the economy totally crashes and you have no funds, and then you're lamenting, you know, or you're peacefully living with your family and your wonderful children and wife and relatives, and all of a sudden another country attacks you, and then there's a big war, and everybody is ending up on the street living from the gutters and trying to figure out how to survive. It's not just some made-up story. Look at the newspaper, you'll see. All over the world, people are suffering and struggling, whether it's pandemic, whether it's being manipulated by the powers of your government that may not be reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and just based on selfish speculation and power, might is right, you know, forcibly making people do what they dictate, not based on religion, scripture, or the words of God. So this is a very difficult situation. We're not comparing. All religions are good if they're developing the love for God. But the depth of study which is available in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's personally speaking, and the beautiful stories in the Bhagavatam, allegories, analogies. You know, an analogy is good if the things you can relate to them. You know, somebody tells you something, a story, and you see that, oh, by disrespecting Ambarish Maharaj, the great saint, the great mystic, Durvasa Muni, had to travel all over the universe, take shelter of everyone, try to take shelter of Vishnu, but no one could help him because he was offensive, or offended a Vaishnava, isn't it? Or Chitraketu, when Lord Shiva was instructing all the saints with Parvati on his lap. So Chitraketu thought, oh, this is kind of amusing. How is it that Lord Shiva, the great Mahayogi, is speaking to all these renunciates, these great saints with Parvati on his lap? And so he made a joke, but because he and Lord Shiva, They were joking in a similar way, but Mother Parvati didn't like that, so she cursed him. And he became Vritrasura. And Lord Shiva actually exposed that you shouldn't have done like that. You know, you shouldn't have cursed the devotee. So it's full of lessons, many deep lessons. We may think we know everything, but we're all like little children, just beginning our spiritual journey. But there's a very accelerated course going on here, this Krishna consciousness, because otherwise it could take millions and billions of lifetimes. And from all those people who have gone through so much austerity, hardly one takes up a path of a genuine path of self-realization, being guided by authentic guru parampara, very, very clear direction, how to apply the scripture to our lives, creating a institution or a home where everyone can live together and practice the same devotional service with camaraderie, with, you know, inspiring one another for spreading Krishna consciousness. And Bharata Bhumi Te Hola Manusha Janma Jar Janma Sarthaka Korikara Parupakar, that you want to do welfare for others, you want to benefit others, So what Bart Varsh was the whole world, so everybody is being ordered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you read Bhagavad Gita, you read Bhagavatam, and you spread the knowledge of Krishna consciousness by your endeavor. It's not just somebody else's responsibility. Krishna is directly telling each and every one of us that it's our responsibility to chant the holy name, to try to set a good example, to inspire others to become Krishna conscious, and or to go out and distribute books. I spent 20 years in Miami Airport. Back then we go to railway stations and ports and traveling Sankirtan, but the airports, you meet people from all over the world and do the book distribution. So this is an austerity, a yajna, which is meant to help burn away the dirty things in our heart and give us an understanding. And this is real giving up selfishness, because selfish means it's just for me, for my enjoyment, for my, first me, then my family, my nation, like that. And unfortunately, if we don't untie that knot of sentimentality, of thinking that, just my duty, I just got to work and take care of family and live my life. But this life is not worth living, because ultimately we're going to get old, get diseased, and we're going to die. Well, everyone does that. But for millions and billions and trillions of years, we're stuck up in this material universe. So Krishna doesn't want that. He wants us to get out, go back to the place, the brilliant place with no sun and moon required. Everything is just brilliantly conscious. The water is conscious, the land is conscious, the trees are conscious. It's complete consciousness and complete happiness. It's not just a void or some bright light. It's bright, but everybody's individually interacting with Krishna and others in a very eternal, loving way. The time element is not there. This disease, old age and disease and death is not there. And it's the Vaikuntha Dham, Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. We should all strive for that, even though we could think that, I'm so far away from that. How will I ever get to the spiritual world with my mentality, or, I get angry, or, I'm lusty, or I'm greedy, selfish. We have all these coverings, but this chanting has a mystifying, magical way. Mantra hypnotizes. People say that we're all hypnotized and brainwashed by the Hare Krishna chanting. And so don't get brainwashed by the Hare Krishnas. But they don't understand that the brain is filthy and dirty and needs washing. And that washing of the brain is clearing the dirt. When they clean the gutters and stuff like that, they get all that dirt out and they put it so that the water can flow. So then the intelligence and the consciousness, it starts illuminating as we start cleaning that dirt out by this process of avoiding further dirt and taking up the chanting of Krishna's names. So we'll be hearing more. I think tomorrow doesn't have a purport, but I think I should read it, because it very much identifies. This is text number 52. Indeed, for persons who think that the body is the self, O best of kings, these things, whose importance lies only in their relationship to the body, are never as dear as the body itself. Then 53 they can do tomorrow. But also 53 continues. And we have to hear every day, we're not the material body. Don't be attached to the superficial. It's not superficial, they're important. But everything should be used in Krishna's service. My family should be engaged in Krishna's service. My endeavor to take care of my responsibility should be in such a way that by surrendering to Krishna and doing this devotional service, you're free of all external obligations. There's quite a few verses quoting that Narada Muni quotes. So let us just surrender to Krishna. Anybody have any questions, comments? Maharaji. Hare Krishna. Can you get the other microphone? Go ahead, Maharaj. I'll repeat what you say.
Thank you for the Harikatha.
Thank you for the Harikatha. Bhagavad Katha. And here comes
the...
Here comes the mic. Go ahead, quickly. Maharaj, sit here.
My question is that how is it that not everyone surrenders to Krishna? And moreover, those who take up to the process of Krishna consciousness, many are getting diverted to the real goal, even though they know what is the goal.
From the real goal.
From the real goal. They're still getting diverted and they don't take it so seriously. So it's like three parts. Why is it that not many or not? Why is it that why not everyone surrenders to Krishna?
Good idea.
And those who pick up to the process, why is it that they're being diverted from the goal? They don't take it so seriously. They think that they still have time.
Well, it's just like the 8,400,000 species of life. According to the desire and our activity, we're given different facilities. So in the human form of life, even though someone, like I said, takes a guru and surrenders, they may not take it that seriously because that's the level of their commitment, that there's the sense gratification is so strongly within our, you know, ingrained within our very being, that it takes some work, it takes some surrender. And the reason why you don't take it as seriously as maybe someone else is because we're still attached to that sense gratification, whether in the form of sleep or, you know, in sexual enjoyment or, you know, adoration, distinction. There's different subtleties amongst even the devotees. There's different subtleties. So we're looking to become purified at heart. Just keep following the process and keep associating with devotees. Then we'll be able to reflect. Oh yes, I should make an extra endeavor. I see that, you know, yeah, this, you know. So every day we're trying to encourage one another in the form of the classes and the kirtan to go further ahead. And we all have to, as you said, take it very seriously. Why some don't? It's just the nature of our, you know, our surrender to Krishna, our own desire,
okay,
not to.
So we try to encourage as many as possible to take it up more seriously, but they're incorrigible.
Krishna's dealing with it, you know. We have to just really be super tolerant. Tatikshava Kurunika Surida Sarvadehinam. It's easy to say that. But devotee, as we mature more, you become very tolerant, very merciful. Prabhupada, sometimes so merciful, even to those who've fallen very far or deep into in illusion, still he pulled them up and engaged them in service. So our main thing, better to err on the part of being, you know, really, really compassionately trying to over again and again encourage. And then some, you know, doing the needful. Krishna will give us intelligence. But it's good to observe, as you're mentioning, to see that, yes, we can all improve one another. And like sometimes I'll say, hey, I haven't seen you, why are you not? Oh yes, I'll come from now on. And they do. And that's good, it's encouraging. So maybe if I didn't say it, maybe they would have not come, but because they felt maybe, oh yeah, you know, he's asking me to do it, so I'll do it. And they do come. So all we should do is be positively encouraging, but at the same time, on a managerial level, we take care of things accordingly. What can I say? Well, I don't know.
As you were giving the example of Lord Krishna, he was loving his parents and gopis and Lord boys, everybody. Similar way, why don't we think that we should love everyone? Why we sometimes hate each other?
Well, it's a similar type of question, because selfishness is our prominent focus. You know, what's good for me? And sometimes putting somebody else down makes one feel better, you know, because it's like, you know, even trying to be, you know, like say kirtan. Whenever I see the devotees chanting, they're so nice, you know, and I think, oh, they're so doing so much better. And I know on Sankirtan in particular, I was on one corner and Vijay was on another corner. We had a certain spots in the airport. And I'd see he'd be doing really, really good. You know, everybody's stopping, he's getting on books, and I'm hitting a wall and people are avoiding me, they're not talking. And then I said, Pragosh, he's also a big book distributor, said, look at Vijay, he's doing so good. He said, Prabhupada's mercy. So in the beginning, I could see I was feeling envious. I was feeling jealous. Why, he's doing so much and I'm not doing. You know, but then sometimes it reverses the other way around. So this competition amongst ourselves may be there, but if we see ultimately it's by Prabhupada's mercy or by Krishna's grace, without Krishna you wouldn't have had the ability to do that singing or to do the book selling or to be the perfect person that you think you are. It's Krishna's ability. So we have to daily hear that, so that we'll see that, oh, I shouldn't be envious of others. We should appreciate others' accomplishments. You know, we should not be jealous that, oh, so-and-so is excelling me in book distribution. Well, why is he, you know, doing that? This is Krishna's way of reciprocating and teaching all of us lessons. Arjuna was taught a lesson, and Arjuna, for our benefit, he asked all the right questions. So if we contemplate the Bhagavad Gita, we'll understand the mentality of who is a pure devotee, what are the symptoms of a pure devotee, how does he speak, how does he behave, how does he interact. And what are the good qualities of a Vaishnava? My God, if you read the first verse, I think even in the divine and demonic chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the godly qualities that Krishna's speaking, said, don't worry, Arjuna, you're of the godly qualities. Just immensely beautiful. So we're going to strive to awaken some of those good qualities which are inherent within everyone. Everyone has them, just covered over.
Prabhu, it's not that sometimes most of material nature they are acting on us. Most of material nature sometimes they are acting on us. Suppose I want to do something good, but due to the passion and ignorance, I cannot do it.
You want to do something good, but because of passion and ignorance, you cannot do it. That's also our desire. Yes, prakrite kriyamanani guna karmani sarvashaha. Living anything thinks himself the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by Mother Nature. Mother Nature is carrying them out, and we're being driven by lust as if unwillingly, or the mind is restless as if unwillingly. But there's a very intimate connection based upon our desire as well. I think Mataji wants to say something. Yes. But you have to come over here because the microphone doesn't go over. You can go across if you need. Because we have limited microphone capacity. There it is. Yeah, just turn the switch on.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
My father is chanting 5-6 rounds, he's reading, he's doing aarti. So he's not, you know, chanting 16 rounds like. So what hope is there for him to go back to Godhead?
There's every hope. 14 generations, when you become, you probably already a pure devotee, but once you become pure devotee, 14 generations forward and backward, this is Krishna's mercy. The you know, we all have sons. I have sons, grandsons. He's a policeman, SWAT, you know, officer. So I doubt he's chanting 16 rounds. But the fact is that they're part of the family of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna was not chanting 16 rounds. He's out there. He was shooting his arrows and taking care of business. I'm not minimizing. For us, the instruction is minimum, you chant all day long. It should be, you know, full-on chanting. But also, just by you being a devotee, and giving good associate encouragement, Krishna sees, he's not counting all the numbers. He wants to see what your heart, you know. If his heart is in the right place, Krishna will adjust for him. I'm not giving, like, three, four rounds is okay, don't worry about it. It's good, we should all chant 64 rounds, but at least 16 we should do as an order, try to fulfill the order of our guru. But he's okay, as long as you're okay. Don't hammer him. Be loving. Hammer him with flowers. Okay. We can't be over fanatical, too extreme. We should set a good example by ourselves being Krishna conscious and try to inspire our family members to the best of our ability. We fly a solo. When you're in your airplane, you're flying solo. So you have to take care of you first, not in a selfish way, but in a selfless way, by dedicating yourself to Guru and Krishna, and then, of course, loving others is part of that symptom of advancement in devotional life.
Thank you.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.